Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. How has pheasant hunting in South Dakota changed from what it once was into the economic boom we know today? Jeremy Fugelberg is editor of the Sioux Falls Business Journal. You can find his reports on the 100th South Dakota pheasant season at argusleader.com. And he joins us now in SDPB Sioux Falls studio. Hey, Jeremy, thanks
Hello.
For coming.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is quite a lot of work here on the 100th opening of the pheasant season and the current season that's underway. How did you get started on sort of deciding to look more deeply, you know, beyond just let's go out to the airport and take a few shots of people coming into town?
Yeah, yeah, which we love to do every year. Don't get me wrong.
I say we do that too. Yeah,
yeah. Right. But it's the 100th season, so yeah, it seemed like a good time to look and see kind of what's changed over that 100-year period. And of course, it's no secret to some people, but I think to the larger world, it may be that pheasant season's really changed in South Dakota over that century, and certainly in more recent decades.
Right.
And I think it can be hidden sometimes because there are so many family traditions wrapped into pheasant season for South Dakota families and in other states as well, where people are, they see it as something that they do as a family. It's a very traditional thing. But I think what can't get missed is it's now a huge, huge business.
Right. So, yeah, most of us, you know, if we're on social media, with, you know, we're going to see the pictures of, you know, the families that we know. We're not necessarily, unless we know somebody in the business, which more and more people are in the business. So let's talk about where you have to go to really find ground zero.
So a lot of places actually like in South Dakota like to claim that they are the center point for pheasant season, and I can't blame them. But Gregory, where I went for the bulk of this reporting, calls itself, or I think it got called by a magazine, Ground Zero for Pheasantdom, some years ago. And of course, as you can imagine, they love that title. Yeah. And there's something to it. There's, of course, lots of pheasants there. There's dozens of hunting lodges related to pheasant season all in that area.
All right. So it's a circus. It's a zoo. It's the,
yes.
the first, I mean, it's like Black Friday and Christmas and everything rolled up into one.
Yes.
What does it look like, you know, on the ground when hunters start coming? Because they're coming from out of state.
They are. And the season actually gets started sooner than most people think, because you can start hunting. You could be a non-resident, out-of-state hunter. You can fly in and stay at some of the hunting lodges, hunting preserves, as soon as the 1st of September. So you can actually, so some of this gets started actually way earlier with people flying in and starting. But the traditional start of the season sees a big rush of people, right? I mean, like you said, you know, you go to the airport and it is all decked out in orange. You go to downtown Gregory. I was just there last week, and it's so much busier than it was even the month prior. So
yeah.
It's very busy, definitely, in just number of people, and everybody seems like everybody's a hunter.
Yeah, and this is changing fundamentally the economy, hunting itself, the tradition. But let's start with how it's really changing the economy of South Dakota and some of these towns who are capitalizing, rightly so, on what's happening. Or are they making it happen? Like, which is coming first? How has it been shifting over the years?
So I'd say it's both. I mean, they obviously work hand in hand. I pulled some numbers from Game Fish and Parks, and let's see, for 2017, I think the total spent by all hunters was $208.9 million. And that's direct, right? That's not second order effects of, you know, where that money goes, and that creates more jobs, that kind of thing. So non-residents, of comparatively, that was $131.8 million. So you have more than half of the revenue coming in directly being infused into the state or put back into the state is coming from non-resident hunters. So you get an idea of how much of this is very much South Dakota hosting out-of-state hunters, bringing all that money in. But I think what's really interesting, and I was looking back at essentially license numbers for the state over the last century, and what you saw was it was always a state activity, right? There were always large numbers of South Dakotans going out to pheasant hunt. But to give you an idea, 1980, I think it was about maybe one in five pheasant hunters was from out-of-state. Compared to now, where you're looking at, it's the changeover happened in 2002 is where all of a sudden there were more non-residents coming in than residents that were getting hunting licenses, and that number has never reversed. It just keeps growing in terms of out-of-state hunters versus in-state hunters.
What happened at that time frame? What was the tipping point? Do you have any idea?
So it depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
But some of it was South Dakota started getting more exposure in terms of what was available for hunting. And I think you also had a lot of out-of-state hunters that were coming in already, but it wasn't really seen as a business. It was more of just something like you host your friend that you know from work, right? And he brings a friend in, that kind of thing. And so you had quite a few places, even where I was in Gregory, who said, wait a minute, why aren't we monetizing this? Why aren't we creating a business around this instead of just hosting people for fun? It's and everyone's bringing their friends and they're bringing their friends. Let's actually make some money off of this. And you saw people start building hunting lodges.
And you said, you know, talk to someone who, you know, they got a gift and it was like a box of candy to say thank you. And they were like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. You and that's and he is, was running around all over the place and shuttling people back and forth and making sure they had enough supplies. And he was doing it because, you know, we're South Dakotans. South we like Dakotans. To be good hosts. Yeah. But at a certain point, he realized not only was he really not enjoying pheasant season, he was missing out on a huge opportunity. Yeah. And that was
Box of candy isn't going to cut it.
Not quite. Yeah. Right. It's not going to quite cover, make up for your time.
But let's talk about this lodge notion, though, because there are a lot of, I mean, we have folks on this show and you've talked to them as well, where now starting a successful hunt, starting and marketing a successful hunting lodge is every bit as important as the farm itself. It's the diversification of, and in some cases it's taking over and it's more significant as an economic development tool than the land that you're farming.
Right. And that was, I think, the most interesting conclusion I came out of the reporting from the other month was looking at, you know, how much this has changed the landscape for some of these local economies that were primarily, and still are, you know, very, they're ag-based economies. And that's still a huge component here. But increasingly what you've seen is as pheasant season has taken on more and more of a life in terms of what it does for the economy, it starts making sense to shift to where the growth is, right? And the farm economy can be tough and not always very reliable. And you're really kind of in the throes of ups and downs, whereas pheasant season, even though it has its fluctuations as well, is a constant stream of supply every year of money, right? Of money and people wanting your services. And so a lot of these people are starting or have started these lodges who otherwise maybe would be farming and just focusing entirely on farming.
Okay. But the fascinating thing to me is it changes hunting itself, the act of it, the day of it. And it's not necessarily, hey, let's go out all day. Can be, let's go out for a couple hours and then let's have some drinks.
Right. So I met a hunter from Texas. He was there with his brother and a bunch of friends from work. And I asked him, I said, so tell me how your day goes. You know, do you get up early and get out there? And he just kind of looked at me sideways. And I was like, no, how much time do you spend out there? And he's like, well, you know, you wake up kind of late and you get breakfast. And then maybe you kind of roll out there at about 10. And then, you know, you're out there for an hour or two, then maybe come back, you know, in time for a good hearty lunch. And then you just kind of, you know, do whatever the rest of the day. So it's certainly part of the day, but it's only part of the day. It may be sort of what everything's centered around, and that's how everyone talks about what they're doing. But now hunting season, especially for people coming from out of state looking for a good time, the actual act of carrying a weapon through the fields is a much smaller part of their experience.
Which I think is important to note because there's this whole notion of, you know, it could be about quantity. It could be about, you know, how many pheasants can I kill? It could be how many. It just sort of depends on the people who are coming.
Right.
And tell us a little bit about some of the other things when you're talking about having a good time. I mean, I think almost everybody in the state knows that there's also a culture that grows around this of saying these hunters, there's men and women, but in this case, there's other industries that spring up to sort of entertain them when they're away from home. Tell us what you found there.
So the town of Gregory itself, and I'll use that as an example, you know, has bars and restaurants that are crazy busy during hunting season, packed out with hunters, large parties of hunters coming in from out of state typically. But there's also just outside of Gregory is a town called Dallas, very small town, and it's dominated by two bars. One of them specifically, it's called Frank Day's, is a bar the rest of the year. It's a local joint, kind of a, it's got cowboy memorabilia all over, photos of everybody. But during hunting season, it turns into far more than just a restaurant. They turn the back essentially into a strip club, which is a whole separate element. And what you have is a whole separate industry that grows up around pheasant season, providing entertainment for hunters in all of those non-hunting hours, which can involve relaxation, but also involve people going out and looking for a good time.
Right. Have there been efforts to, you know, from the lodge's perspective, to find people to come in the off season to sort of, you think of Airbnb and other places where, you know, ski resorts, which have off season tourist specials. Is anybody monetizing the hunting lodges that they've built on their property when it's not hunting season? Or is that something that's ahead for the state?
It's starting, and I think it's also ahead. That's where a lot of the growth is for these places, because as these families and these owners shift more and more toward providing these commercial hunting operations as a big part of what they do to make money, you're exactly right. There's a big stretch of the year right. when those aren't busy. So what do you do with those? So that's what they're looking at, providing it as a meetings venue. They found some lodges have found a lot of success serving as a wedding venue or reception venue. You've got some very large spaces sometimes. They've already got sort of a hospitality business or catering business almost built into what they do. And so it actually works very well for them to try some of these other things.
All right. So what's the season like this year? How's it going? It's been a good year for the pheasants?
Yeah. So yeah. The brood counts earlier this year were much improved from last year. And the numbers, it's still a little early to say kind of what that looks like. We obviously don't have definitive numbers. We're still in the season. But heard mixed results, mixed reports from when I was out in Gregory just last week. Some people said, oh, it's been great, it's very busy. And other people said, it doesn't seem like we're seeing quite as many people. So kind of right now, I'm not sure. I would say most of the people I talked to said it seemed like it was a good year. It was better than last year.
Talk about how important conservation is then. Because when you, you know, when you have this industry that has become, and once you can't put that genie back in the bottle, I hate that cliche, but there I said it. But once, you know, once you've kind of made this transition for folks, this is very important to the economy. And it always really has been. But it's increasingly so. You've got to deliver on for nothing else, birds, right. Which means you need to have the space for them to live in conservation. And I'm stumbling over the words exactly. Yeah. You help me out here. No, but yeah,
everybody I talked to.
The impact of yes. that really for the environment of the state
that's,
overall.
That's still the heart of the season, right? Yeah. Is that there are birds to hunt. And the numbers there aren't great. They've been going down. The long term is that they've been decreasing. And there are many questions or possible reasons why that could be, but I don't think anybody's got a good answer to that. But what you do see is conservation being incredibly important, and also you increasingly see there's farm-raised birds that get released. Sometimes they're supposed to be released much earlier than the opener, but sometimes they aren't, from what we hear on the ground. Mm-hmm. And that leads to not always as good of a hunting experience. But the idea is you want to get birds out there. And that's something that's so crucial for everybody. So I think it can be kind of a mixed bag on how that happens. But you're absolutely right. The pressure is intense for birds to be there and for those populations to grow. And it's still a question what the long-term survival of pheasants here looks like.
Right. For these people who do have a long, rich tradition of just, you know, getting the uncles and the cousins together to go for the hunt, how are they sort of responding? Because this is happening in their lifetimes. You know, I was a kid and this is what it was like, and now it's not like that anymore. Mm-hmm. Do they like the changes? Are they, does it feel like, yeah, this is sustainable and this is how we pass this on to the next generation? Or does it feel like this wonderful, simple tradition that you had is getting overrun by a bunch of out-of-state people, some of whom are more interested in, a drink at the end of the day than the hunt mm-hmm. itself? How do people with those traditions really respond to the changing environment of hunting in South Dakota?
So I've heard a few responses to just that question. It's still a good tradition. It still brings a lot of meaning to people's lives, and some of these families' experiences are still solid. They're still happening, and honestly, a lot of these out-of-state hunters, a lot of them are families too, coming in,
exactly.
and it's for them, it's a family experience as well. So it's still sort of a family experience. But yeah, it's changed. I've talked to people when I was in Gregory who said, you know, they can't find good hunting like they used to, right? Like all the good hunting is on some of these lodges. And otherwise we run into people who are saying, oh yeah, we're still looking for a good place. Not sure where to go. People can still road hunt, so there are options, but it can be a little harder to do that it used to be.
Yeah. Any surprises that you found that sort of took you by surprise that this is what was going on out in Gregory and other places in the state about the future of hunting and where it's at right now?
So I knew it was a big deal commercially, and I think anybody who looks at the numbers can tell that. I think what really struck me was how much these very family operations are turning into really big businesses and how they're looking to diversify and try to be more than hunting. You're really looking at a shift in the local economy here from farming to hospitality. Yeah. And that's a really significant shift for the larger economy of the state. Regarding what South Dakota looks like in the future, what South Dakota's economy looks like down the road.
And that takes innovation and some really smart business thinking from some kids who are growing up and taking over operations and things like that. So they're getting that education, they're applying it to what they see in front of them.
And that was the brightest point that everybody on the ground says, right? Everybody in Gregory says, this is a reason that my kids can stay here. This is the reason that people might move back. This is all about growing the community and keeping people at home because there are jobs, because there's opportunities. You don't have to go somewhere else for that.
Yeah. Jeremy Fugelberg, great work. You can find it at argusleader.com. He is the editor of the Sioux Falls Business Journal. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having me.